This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
To borrow without limit and without thinking how we are going to pay this back seems to me stupid and immoral.
Those of us who are Christians are bound by Jesus' command to protect the least of these the most. So we ask, what would Jesus cut?
Adults sometimes speak of hymns as though they're impossibly hard for children to learn, but I think most of the time they're projecting.
Are you a damned sinner under the law? I hope so. You must be. If you aren't, leave the space. Christ is not for you.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Are you a member of a church? If so, how do you think about your membership in that church, in the church? You know what I'm talking about, the one we confess in the creed, the one holy Christian and apostolic church. How do you think about your membership there? Is it essential to salvation? Is church membership like country club membership or AAA membership? It's something you join, something you maintain, something you use when you need it or when you want it. We're going to be talking about the privileges of church membership here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday, July the 11th. Pastor Joel Basely will join us. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit later, Rick Ritchie joins us to talk about the medium, the means, and the message of the church. And we'll spend the entire second hour of the program talking about heaven and hell with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University, Chicago. First, we'll talk the privileges of church membership. Pastor Joel Basely is a regular guest. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. And he's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president and one of the founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Basely, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. Good to be with you.
Christians nowadays are probably very familiar, if they join an average church with some kind of a membership covenant. It's a document that they sign. It may mean something, it may mean nothing, but it has stipulations there largely as to church attendance. Are you going to support the ministries of the church? Are you going to give a certain amount of money? Very popular nowadays, especially in pop American evangelicalism. Walther, when talking about church membership in his day, approaches it very differently. First of all, he begins with privileges rather than duties. Why?
Well, because the church is a unique institution in all of the world, it has certain treasures or certain resources that are only available in the church, and those are precious because they're bought with the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. And if we would rightly define the church as believers, this is where they come on earth for their treasure trove. This is where Christ has promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Here we have the treasure of the rebirth of the church. Mother Church gives birth to her children through the waters of holy baptism under Christ's command, by his authority and in his grace. And these are all possessions of the believer because Christ gives these things to them. And so the church, if we would think about it rightly, is the place where all of Christ's treasures of redemption are placed upon the earth for his people to enjoy, to use, to struggle in their battles against sin, and to share with others who have not yet found the kingdom or the Christ.
Nowadays, I think the working model for Christian congregations is to think of themselves primarily sociologically and organizationally. They kind of say, there are these freelance Christians out there. We're trying to draw as many members from that group of freelance Christians as we can. Walther seems to think of the church organically, theologically, and I take it from what you've written, he can't conceive of Christianity apart from the church.
No, that's right. Again, the promise, Christ is everywhere, God is everywhere, but the benefit of the church is to know and to be able to point to and to show people and themselves where Christ is present in order to be gracious and to save us. And again, the organic connection with Christ is given to us in the Great Commission. He says to baptize and teach all that he has commanded them, and then he makes that connection. And lo, I am with you always till the ends of the age. So it's not just things that Christ has won for us and forgiveness that Christ has won, but it is Christ himself. As he says to his disciples in John 15, I am the branch and you are the vine. If a man remain in me, he shall bear much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. And that connection is made with people in the church. In fact, that's the definition of the church. It is people connected by faith with Christ.
So he'll begin talking about the absolute, and this is not optional, the absolute necessity for salvation that one be a member in the visible church. What does he mean there?
Yeah, and you frame that nicely, because it isn't a duty. It isn't, well, you have to go to church every week and spend an hour there, and if you spend an hour in church and listen to the sermon, then you have earned your right to come to heaven. No, it is where the Lord, our Savior, our only Savior from sin, has identified himself as present and sharing those gifts with us. So just as when we wake up in the morning and we maybe have a growling stomach that says, feed me, that's what a Christian is. It is someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness that they don't have because of the sin in their flesh. And they're saying, where can I be fed with the righteousness of Christ? Where can I receive the holiness that I lack and that I desire as a child of God? And it's right there in the church where two or three are gathered, and Christ, the source of that holiness and righteousness, is there to feed us.
Many might balk at this, Pastor Baisley, because they'll say this sounds an awful lot like medieval Roman Catholicism that would say there is no salvation outside the church. Walther seems to be saying the same thing. How is what he's saying different from that statement of medieval Roman Catholicism?
Well, he joins with that, and if that's medieval Catholicism, it is medieval Catholicism at its best, because we need to be born again, and the mother who bears us again is the Holy Church with her water of baptism. And if the church is not our mother, then God is not our father, because that's where we are given birth, and that's the household of faith, where we come and we eat and we share with each other. Christ shares our sin and forgives it. He shares his holiness with us there. And yes, indeed, that is absolutely true. Apart from these institutions of Christ, there is no salvation. And the good news is he's placed them there in the church so we know where we can find them. And that's why the Christian would never be without his church. He's never by himself. He is part of the family of God. Christ is his brother. God is his father, and the church is his mother.
He is thinking and writing as a Lutheran. Is he saying there's no salvation apart from the Lutheran Church?
No, he is saying that there is no salvation apart from the institutions of Christ. And he would not separate the Lutheran Church from the Christian Church. And every church is saving inasmuch as it confesses and keeps the institutions of Christ. And that's a great realization that we have about God's grace, that even in churches that deny some of his means and define Jesus out of these means of grace, inasmuch as they still have baptism and the Word of God, God is still there and saves them, although they're then robbed of that comfort and placed in spiritual danger. Because, of course, the truth of God saves, and the lie that covers that truth or takes that truth away is spiritually perilous and can even be damning.
Now, this would, just fly in the face of every sensibility that has been drummed into us by not only our culture, but by a modern Christian way of thinking. But as an aside, Walther would affirm that the confessing Lutheran Church, that is, the Church of the Lutheran Confession, wherever it is found, whatever denomination where it's expressed, is in fact the true visible church on earth, wouldn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and it is visible because it can be recognized that the voice of Christ and the truth is there in his word and sacraments. Where that truth, as I said, is covered by a lie, and that's what false doctrine by definition is, then the saving work of Christ is covered in that lie. And it doesn't mean that Christ is not present, and it doesn't mean that Christ cannot save, and he does save by his grace. But it's not something that's good for God's people. It's dangerous. The lie is always dangerous. It's what killed us in the very beginning when Adam and Eve took the devil's lie instead of God's truth.
So Christians in churches other than the Lutheran confession are certainly saved the same way all are, insofar as the gospel is there. But they are in a precarious, or perhaps might we say, they are permitting themselves to be in a treacherous position, associating themselves with the lie as well as the truth.
Yes. And those that are saved and those associations are kept by God, and they are ignorant of the issues, they are ignorant of those things that are denying God and his word. And if it is revealed to them that there is wrong teaching in the church, then they would follow Luther and Reform and confess the truth, and by God's grace, maybe the church would change in deference to God's almighty and authoritative word, or they could get kicked out the way Luther did. That's the way of it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the privileges of church membership. Pastor Joel Basely is our guest. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president, one of the founders of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. When we come back, Walther talks about the privileges and advantages of being a member of the Lutheran Church. We'll see what he's talking about. Pastor Joel Basely is our guest.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 11th of July. We're talking with Pastor Joel Basely about what it means to be a member of the church. Pastor Basely, Walther also talks about the advantages and privileges of being in the Lutheran Church. What's he talking about?
The privileges of being within the Lutheran Church is that in here we have, I guess what you could say is a taste of heaven. We have an association and a connection with the church of all ages, the church of the Old Testament that looked forward to Christ, and the church throughout the age of the New Testament that celebrates God and his grace. And in this we have the cumulative riches of centuries of adornments that the Spirit has given to the gospel and the beautiful hymns and ceremonies that are in the church, in the pure books of teaching that we have for our children. For instance, the catechism. I've heard some wonderful interviews you've given recently on the catechism and how important that is, and the books for church and school. And so they have every reason in the church because of this this heritage and this family that we are in of God's house to have people around us that watch out for us, people that love us, people that are embraced in the gift of God, and most especially what we need the most, Jesus and his forgiveness every week until we need it no more on that day of resurrection when he takes us to heaven.
So he's working also in a historical context that requires him to explain, and this is very foreign to us now historically, he explained why this, what he's talking about, membership in the church, is different from what he had come out of, that is, membership in a state church, a church where citizenship in a region and membership in a church were synonymous with one another.
That's correct. A state church or a people's church, as we even find it in Europe in the big state churches today, is your right by being born a citizen of that country. And this was quite a transition for Luther and those who came to this country, that church membership was not by right of birth, but by right of rebirth. And so it was baptism that brought them in. And again, with a state church supporting the church with taxes and forcing the people to support the church with their offerings through the tax system, it must have seemed strange for them to come here and to have people voluntarily putting money into the offering plate and the church sinking and swimming by the good wishes and the goodwill of the people. And the need for instruction into the faith according to the Lord's desires was something that is a part of membership in America, but it's fairly optional in the state churches. And the fact that a person might refuse to learn the catechism would not forbid them from being fully a member of the church.
As a matter of history, do you think that Walther would have been able to come to, obviously mining Holy Scripture for these truths, would he have been able to come to the conclusions he did with regard to the church had he not been forced by the circumstances of immigration to the United States in the early 1800s to look at the church in a different way than simply the state church, the one he had known?
Certainly, and in two ways. One, because Walther certainly did know his Scripture, and he understood from the very beginning of Christianity that is recorded in Scripture that there was no state funding. In fact, for 300 years that the state had oppressed and made the Christian religion an illegal religion. So in the church as it was first conceived, it had to be the people who were offering and sharing with each other and their pastors that supported the church. And there could not be things like consistories where the government would come in and decide who was going to be pastor or how the church would be structured, because the government was so separate from the church that it was antagonistic to it. And so, yes, both from history and from Scripture, Walther says to his congregation at one point in a voters' assembly that many might regard the way the church is set up in America as we have it now as not being Lutheran because it was so different. But he says that that's an error, that these things have not been made up by them, the Saxons, as innovations, but are taken from Scripture, and they had become dormant because of the relationship of the church and the state in Europe.
To the question, what does it mean to be a true member of the Lutheran Church? And here again, as you said before, he's speaking here Lutheran and Christian synonymously.
Mm-hmm.
How does he answer the question?
Well, he answers very much in line with the Lord's Great Commission and what he commands the church to do. And so baptizing and teaching are the way in which the church indoctrinates or brings people from the outside and into the church through the rebirth of baptism and then through instruction. And so when he talks about what a true Lutheran congregational member is, he's got basically three points that would acknowledge that baptism and teaching. The first one would be a good basic knowledge of pure Lutheran doctrine, and that's what we come with our catechism and with the instruction that comes through the church. And so, he chastises his people to keep on learning. Luther himself said he never stopped studying the catechism, and he quotes Hebrews 5 and says, long ago you should have been teachers, but you need to be taught, again, the basics of the divine word. So the basic catechism, the chief parts of the faith, are necessary for a good Christian or a good Lutheran. Second of all, then, he should be able to draw that faith, the basics of his faith, out of the Word of God. Because if he can't base it on the Word of God, even if it's right, it is tentative and more or less based on hearsay. He needs to know that the doctrine of his church is from the mouth of God himself. And so he must be able to draw these basic doctrines out of Scripture. And that's why in the catechism we have proof passages that are used to defend and show that our practice are right out of God's word and from God himself. And finally, the third point is to realize that we're in a spiritual battle. And the six chief parts teach us how to fight that battle in us. In other words, we pray against the evil that's in us and around us. We receive God's grace for the sin and evil that still lives in our flesh. But being a part of the church means that we're part of this church that's battling evil in the world. And so we should be, and again, I'm not saying aggressors, but aggressively standing against what is against God's word. And a good Lutheran or a good Christian does not say, oh, here we are battling over religious issues again. Why can't we all just get along? But rather, a Lutheran understands that true doctrine is comforting, and if someone is robbing or trying to rob us of true doctrine, they're robbing us of God's comfort, and he stands up as a child of God, as Jesus did with the Pharisees, and said, no, that's wrong. And so the church is a militant church, which means that we are fighting here on earth against the devil and against evil, and Christ has already won the victory. But he also allows us to join in the battle, and as he is now enjoying the fruits of his victory, we shall share it with him when we go to heaven with him.
Finally then, Pastor Baisley, would Walther conclude that to defect from the true church is to defect from Christ?
Yes, he often uses Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus says to those who are saved, inasmuch as you have done this to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. And so he's saying that the Christian church is the brotherhood of Jesus. And as we treat the church, and not just abstractly the church, but our brothers in the church, are we there to support them? Are we there to help them? Are we there to feed the minister? Because we know that if offerings don't come in, he'll go naked and starve. Yeah, that's a little drastic, but in the worst-case scenario, that could be true. He's saying how you treat and support the church is how you treat and support Christ. And to be cold-hearted to the church, therefore, would be to be cold-hearted to Christ and his brothers that are gathered there. So defection from the church and not lending a hand and not lending my part as a body of a part of the body of Christ to the church is indeed defecting from Christ and his people.
With only about 30 seconds, useful here for me whenever I ponder these things that Walther wrote, is another statement that he made, because it could be misinterpreted that he's speaking about his denomination, mm-hmm. the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that he was the first president of that he helped found. But he at one point says that the Missouri Synod should prefer to go out of business. He says go under rather than stand in the way of the proclamation of Christ, even anticipates a possibility that such a thing might someday be necessary. What is he saying?
He's saying that that we do not defend a name as Lutheranism, and we do not worship Luther, but Lutheranism is only as good as the doctrine that it teaches, and it's good because it teaches Christ's doctrine. If it fails to teach and confess Christ's doctrine, then it fails to be good. It fails to be connected with Christ. And he says this in many of his church dedication sermons. If ever false doctrine is preached from this sermon, may God send wind and fire and rain and lightning and strike it to the ground. That's how much he loves the good word of God and hates the lies of the devil and doesn't want any part of it.
Pastor Joel Baisley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He has translated several of the writings of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can find out more about these great resources under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Mark 5 Publications. Pastor Baisley, thank you again.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd. God bless.
Well, when we come back, we're going to spend the next half hour talking with Rick Ritchie about the medium, the means, and the message of the church.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's all-purpose sauce at your local grocery store or log on to countrybobs.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's all-purpose sauce.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The group called JCs works to provide young people with the tools necessary to be a success in the business world. They've done tons of good work in 80-plus years. So it comes as a surprise when the JCs kicked a pro-life group out of the local 4th of July parade in Palatine, Illinois. Their crime was carrying a banner with an offensive photo, which the pro-life group says is an ultrasound image of an unborn baby. These positive images permeate our society, and I've heard no one describe them as offensive. In spite of targeting pro-lifers, the JCs allowed the gay and lesbian group to march. Go figure. Please contact the JCs and politely tell them what you think. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for details.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.